Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Monday, October 24, 2011, InfoWars transmission. Alex is out on assignment. He's been working on a television show, but he will be popping in on the other side of this break. Alex Jones will be joining us shortly. We also have Wayne Madsen, investigative journalist, joining us to talk about all the developments with Syria, with Libya instituting Islamic law, with the new one treasury for Europe, and so much more. Then later in the broadcast, we're going to have InfoWars contributor and writer Patrick Henningsen, and we'll discuss all things Syria, Iran, the conclusion of Libya with the death of Gaddafi, and a whole lot more coming up later. And I really want to try to break down the geopolitical background behind that rimland where really the whole region is set on fire. I want to talk about clips where people like Wesley Clark blew the whistle on how they had a plan for seven wars in 5 years at the time in the region, a list of very familiar countries from Iraq on down. Now we've been through Libya, and we're approaching Syria and the end game of Iran. All that is coming up in the broadcast. I wanted to cover in detail New Euro Empire Plot by Brussels. European Union chiefs are drawing up plans for a single treasury to oversee tax and spending across 17 Eurozone nations. And that is in the London Telegraph today. The proposal brought forward by Herman Van Rompuy, the EU Council President, would be the clearest sign yet of a United States of Europe, quote-unquote, with Britain on the sidelines. The plan comes as European governments desperately try to save the euro from collapse last night with a new bombshell, with the IMF saying it would not pay for a second Greek bailout. So you've got all this economic collapse, and you have the solution ready to go for the Hegelian-like problem-reaction-solution scenario that's been set up, ready to go with a solution that empowers the European Union for greater world government, for greater regional integration, even as that whole Eurozone is threatened to collapse. But I would imagine it would not. We also have all kinds of articles on Syria. John McCain, former presidential candidate, has called for military options in Syria. U.S. Senator John McCain raised the prospect Sunday of possible armed intervention to protect civilians in Syria, where a crackdown on pro-democracy protests has killed more than 3,000 people. Of course, that is a hoax. It's all been Western-backed, part of the Arab Spring revolutions. It's obviously no coincidence that all these things are happening at the same time. It's just a sneak attack, and the Arab Spring excuse is just sort of meant to put us off guard, to defuse us a little bit so they can get things done. Madison Rupert writes about how Syria is it next for Libya-style humanitarian intervention. Again, on the humanitarian pretext, we are looking for yet another front in the war, even as things have not quite winded down in Libya. With the destruction of Libya winding down, the Western imperialist machine is looking for the next target for destabilization and exploitation. And he goes on to talk about John McCain and all the others calling for military options. And even though people like Obama and Hillary have backed sanctions and obviously would support the war, they're playing into the left-right paradigm, not really admitting they want military action in Syria. Perhaps there's another phase before that as they continue to heat things up with Iran as tensions continue. We also have Obama ending the war with Iraq as he begins war with Persia and Pakistan. Stay tuned. There's so much more going on geopolitically, everything going on in Europe. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in, but Alex Jones is on the other side. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is October 24th, 2011 on this Monday edition. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am your dutiful host here joining you now from Las Vegas, Nevada. Jesse Ventura, the former Minnesota governor, is now shooting the third season of his hit TV show that's woken a lot of people up and even been censored with threats by Congress over the FEMA camp special that I engineered and wrote most of and researched most of. Again, I'm proud of the episode that I had my biggest stamp on is the one that caused the government to go into a complete and total hissy fit. I am here with Jesse Ventura, Tyrell Ventura, his son, who's now in the third season, actually phasing in to be the host of the show, and of course, another second-generation individual. We've got Sean Stone, who I've really gotten to know well. He's a really interesting person and accomplished director and actor in his own right, obviously the son of Oliver Stone. So people have asked, I've seen a lot of comments on InfoWars and Prison Planet, hey, Alex, why aren't you in town? Because I'm here, as I do once a year, on the road, shooting episodes of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. Jesse refuses. We have a huge show today, and Aaron Dykes is the main host. He's waiting in the wings. We have a raft of guests coming up, but I just wanted to point out that I am here in Las Vegas, and that ties into the big TSA criminal activity news I'm going to be breaking down here in just a moment. But Ventura still hasn't gotten word on his lawsuit, whether or not it's going to be thrown out of court or not. His lawyer, who he's had several big successful cases with in the past, is a top constitutional lawyer and knows the merits are absolutely strong and the case is sound. And Jesse basically is saying he may just leave the country if the court doesn't at least hear his case. If they just throw it outright without a jury of his peers, Jesse's got some big announcements to make. Perhaps I just gave a prelude to it here. But the point is that Jesse is driving around the United States in a bus / I guess RV to avoid the TSA, just as I am doing. You know, we're so busy with the nightly news TV show, and we're so busy with the radio show. I got the bus a few months ago, an 11-year-old used bus, but it really is a whippersnapper. We love it. It's a great bus. And I am soon going to put out a new website section on InfoWars.com, and we're going to put the announcements out to radio stations across the country who want to contact us or affiliates who want us to come to their city to broadcast from their city or their town, and then also speak at an event that evening. And I'm already lining up some trips. I was going to do one this fall, but I think I'm going to nail down the TV show and some other things first. And finish some other loose ends around the office in our expansion against the globalist. And then next year, starting in January, at least once a month, I will go on 3 or 4 day trips in the bus where I can lance out in one direction in the country and speak at two radio stations and two events, and then come back and speak at another station and come back home. We may also just go out every 2 months for a whole week on the road and hit 5 or 6 or 7 local affiliates. So very, very exciting things on that front. And I am, again, sometimes they get started really early in the morning. Sometimes they get started in the afternoon. They weren't sure about, quote, call times when we're going out in the desert and things to investigate stuff and do interviews. And so I'm actually going to probably have time here today to be popping in throughout the broadcast. I couldn't do that yesterday, or I would have done the Sunday radio show. Now, all of that said, ladies and gentlemen, we have obviously huge news for you here today. We've got Wayne Madsen, the Wayne Madsen Report, always extremely informative, former NSA officer who's been in Libya just in the last year, who predicted much of what's now happened. He is going to be joining Aaron Dykes. Aaron Dykes is the grand conductor here today, running the overall transmission. And then we have several other guests coming on as well, like Patrick Henningsen, who is a writer for InfoWars.com, joining us from London as well. I believe that's going to be video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, and also obviously better audio for radio listeners than phone. Now, continuing here, this is the basic top news that I have here for you, and I know Aaron throughout the day is going to be breaking this down more, and that is the fact that it has now been officially announced. It is all over the Sunday news shows that I watched in my hotel room yesterday. It is a huge, huge, in-your-face, globalist slap in the face that the new leaders publicly, and these articles are up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, it is admitted that the new government will be a Wahhabist, basically Saudi Arabian-run, hardcore Islamicist. Women, you know, will have to cover their faces. Family members can be killed for no reason. They are putting in a super hardcore interpretation of Sharia law. I guess this would be the equivalent of like a Puritan situation in, you know, 1680 or something in Boston, where if you came out of your house on Sunday, they'd lock you in the stocks for a week. So they stick your head and your arms through the stocks and hold you in one position for a week, one of the worst forms of torture there is. I mean, I'm not even bashing Islam itself. I'm not bashing Christianity. I'm a Christian. But there's always these extreme forms of things. But that's not even the issue. We're told that we're all over the Middle East, all over North Africa, trying to overthrow these governments to bring in democracy, to bring in freedom and all this talk. They don't ever discuss a republic where everybody's rights are protected. No. In Egypt, they kick out the 31-year dictator, Hosni Mubarak, and it is admittedly about 10 times worse now. They shoot protesters on sight. They arrest bloggers now. They torture people for political speech that was previously tolerated in Egypt. Well, now, if you go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or DrudgeReport.com or any of the big sites, it's literally a cornucopia, a veritable cornucopia of confirmation where they openly are saying that Islamicists are being put into power. Meanwhile, no discussion. It's now gone off the radar, pun intended, of where the 10 to 15,000 different types of missiles have gone missing. Different numbers are 2, 3, 4, 5,000. We're still not sure. They admit it's over 2,000, and some estimates are as high as 5, of high-tech, different variants of French, British, you name it, shoulder-launched, Russian as well, shoulder-launched surface-to-air anti-aircraft missiles. And, boy, you're taking off, say, from Los Angeles or Dallas, Texas, or somewhere, and somebody's got one of these. They just sit out, you know, a mile from the airport where your plane's at about 3,000 feet, and zap, it goes right into the engine, heat-seeking missile, and that'll end your holiday real, real quick. But see, a real threat is not a big deal with the globalists. In fact, they hope this happens. They'll just take more of our rights. And as we reported last week, now in Tennessee, Michigan, all over the country, the TSA is setting up checkpoints, openly searching families' vehicles, trucks, shutting down highways. And that leads me to my next piece of news here today. Again, if you're just now tuning in, this is Alex Jones here with Aaron Dykes. I am on the road with Governor Jesse Ventura, shooting more episodes. I think I'm in 4 or 5 of them. We've already shot a couple yesterday. We're shooting a couple more today. My contributions to it. I'm here in Las Vegas, and I've shot a lot of video here while I'm here of the grave in the desert. Other than against the great people of Las Vegas, I mean, it's very beautiful here. I love the high desert. And, yeah, I'm sure some of the shows and things are interesting, but there's no doubt that this culture is becoming the American culture, kind of this cruise ship, Las Vegas, gulag economy, the casino gulag economy that Max Kaiser has coined. That's really what it is. And the restaurants, most of them are kiosks. services, even though it's a big restaurant, you've got to pay up front, even with cash. It wants your data or won't let you in. You can see how they're phasing humans out. I'm going to have a report on that. I've shot a bunch of video that later in the week on InfoWars Nightly News is going to blow people away. I'm also going to make myself get to that stuff I shot in Arkansas. Amazing report there. Perhaps later in the week or next week I'll get those historians on about the Al Capone, Rockefeller connections, Bugsy Siegel, Lucky Luciano, really important stuff on that front. When I get back to Austin, and again, Aaron Dykes has been doing the nightly news and doing a superlative job. So we are here facing just this incredible spectacle of Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's who it is, the literal jihadi, Wahhabi, Al-Qaeda, most of the leadership fighting, quote, U.S. troops, really globalist troops. Our military is good people, but our military is run by the New World Order. And so basically it's just two different armies that are fighting each other, run by the same people. And people say, well, why would the globalists fight themselves? That's how they have the excuse to be in Iraq. You have to have an enemy to have an occupation. This is full-spectrum dominance, and then you can bring about the system you want out of that dialectic clash, out of that controlled collision. It's like you can't have a boxing match without two different boxers. You can't have an Indy 500 without the racers out there at Indianapolis Speedway. That's, you know, I'm getting people outside the box to not just focus on one car or another or one boxer or another, but go, hey, look, Don King owns both boxers. This is going to be staged. So when we get back, I'll give you the biggest news here. I've got a whole laundry list of it, but you've heard about them going after cash in Louisiana and places. Well, now the TSA is doing it, and I witnessed it. Stay with us.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo volar en el cielo infinito.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are here live. I'm joining you from the road in Las Vegas. I'm here working in Sin City with Jesse Ventura because a lot of the people he needed to interview were in this area of the Southwest. So folks have been driving in and flying in from all over the country while he shoots several of the episodes or part of the episodes. He's been traveling all over the United States. They told me some information last night that I was told off the record concerning what the show went through last year that I didn't even know. And I just can't believe I'm told this stuff in confidence, and now I've got to shut up about it. In fact, I shouldn't even be saying I was told something in confidence. But it's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, doing this. That's all I can tell you. And they have been getting people tailing them and you're coming up and doing things, but that's nothing compared to what has happened last season. Let me just say, this situation is life and death. I'm just going to leave it at that. Believe me, the New World Order does not like what happened last season. That's why Homeland Security and Congress put pressure to have that FEMA camp special about the threat fusion centers and the TSA takeover and the total police state grid. That's why they had it taken down. Now, Wayne Madsen's coming up with Aaron Dykes, and then I'm going to be back for the entire next hour because that's how this works. Sometimes they shoot in the morning, and then they don't need me till the evening. So I'm going to be and I was flying out tonight. Now they want me to stay another day. So I haven't figured that out yet, folks, but don't flog me. I'm getting good at computers and Skype and things because I'm not very technical, and I didn't bring a Skype computer and the microphone and stuff. I should have, or I would just be doing the whole show today, and then Aaron could be getting ready for the nightly news and doing all the news site stuff that he does so well. But I am here via phone joining you, but in the future when I am on the road, I will be Skyping in. Now, continuing with the news, If you go to drudgereport.com right now, they've got Paul Watson's article up. And this isn't the first time this has happened where a woman's sexual aid device was in her bag, and they opened it up and put a note in it saying, "Get your freak on, girl." That makes me think of a Doug Stanhope piece he does where he says he's sick of the TSA and what he's going to put in his bag. I'm not even going to say it on air. It's very crude. The point is that this is the humiliation that people go through. And when I was flying out of Austin, a couple things happened. Generally, the TSA is really nice in Austin and asks for my autograph and things. You know, and again, most of them aren't evil. They just want a job. But the fact is that they will do things like this shows that their elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. You'll violate the Fourth Amendment. Live in and around X-ray machines without shielding all day. And so I'm going through the checkout in Austin, or the check-in, the checkpoint. And there, you know, is the first TSA guy, and he says, "Hey, Alex Jones, how you doing?" And I shake his hand. And then an older, gray-haired, balding gentleman says, "This one's a troublemaker." And it was out of central casting, like out of a movie or something. So I thought the guy was joking. And I went, "Oh, yeah, I'm a troublemaker." And he goes, "Where are you going?" And I started realizing he was trying to intimidate me. But I'm a Texan, and I tend to answer people's questions. I like to talk. I'm like a, you know, crazy parrot or something, as everyone knows. And I said, "I'm going to Vegas." He went, "Ooh, Vegas? You're going to Vegas?" And I went, "Yeah, to shoot Jesse Ventura's TV show." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, right." And I went, "Okay, well, I guess," because I'm a liar, you know, I'm an evil citizen. And so that goes on. And he goes, "No, what are you really going to Vegas for?" And I said, I just told you I'm going to shoot Jesse Ventura's TV show. You know, the guy suing the TSA for grabbing his genitals? The guy who won't fly now and may leave the country because of you people? You know, the Navy veteran, the governor? You know that one? And he was like, "Ah, you can go." And then I'm going, and I'm kind of late because I was at the office shooting this special report on GMOs. Aaron's getting ready for the next few days. I'm going to come back and finish up. We'll get Wayne Madsen on, but I'm going to finish what happened. And then I'm sitting there putting my belt back on and things, being trained as a prisoner. And then I watch him go after this guy for silver coins. Wait till we come back. I'll tell you about this. Joining you from the road. I'm about to hand the baton to Aaron Dykes for the rest of the hour. Then I'll be riding shotgun with you again for the entire next hour via the telephone with Aaron Dykes there in studio. And we have Patrick Henningsen also joining us on geopolitical and economic developments. Now, when I get on next hour, I have, over the weekend, literally read hundreds of articles because as I began to research this, I realized how close we are to the global financial implosion and the rollout of the cashless society. And I wanted to break down for people what this cashless society means. But I have confirmed, and I've seen tons of reports where people are not being allowed to get their money out of major banks, even $5,000, $6,000. Almost everyone's being refused if they want $10,000. It doesn't matter if you have $1 million in the bank or $10,000; they won't give it to you. They're trying to give it to you as checks and things, as if you can do something with that, to only deposit it in another bank. And under this cashless society, they can't just track everything. They can also manipulate the economy by having all this data, and they can also put fines and fees on every action you engage in and every financial transaction. And I've warned you forever, that's all coming. And for the first time in my 16, almost 17 years on air, maybe Wayne Madsen can speak to this. I know he's an expert on the whole wireless, you know, banking system. it looks like they may go ahead and try to engineer some type of run on banks and then phase in the new cashless society, because they got billboards up demonizing cash. They're passing laws you can't use cash, secondhand sales, places like Louisiana, and they've got it in other legislatures around the country. This is big. Now, after I cover that next hour and get Aaron's take on it, we'll get more into the TSA and these domestic checkpoints, which are putting in capital controls. And all over the country now, you pull up to checkpoints, the TSA is there with local police being trained under them, who become auxiliary federal police, total federal power grab. And they tell the families, or truck drivers, it doesn't matter, whoever's on the road, do you have drugs? Do you have guns? Do you have cash? Do you have gold? Do you have silver? So this is called capital controls or currency controls. And this is what goes on in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. This is what goes on in the, you know, old Soviet Russia. And I know Wayne, who fought the Soviets in the Cold War, he can break down what capital controls mean for you. So perhaps Aaron, after he gets into Libya and what's happening over there, we'll bring that up to him. Now, just finishing my story, I'll get more into it next hour as well, because it all ties into these capital controls. The TSA interrogates me, so they've now begun, not just in Boston, but all over the country, they've now begun the Israeli-style interrogations, but that's not even really what it is. It's just they're getting in your business, they're going to force their way into your life, they're going to treat you like you're a criminal. And my answer is, have you read the Constitution today? My answer is, are you worried about the body scanners frying you and giving you cancer? If you're treating me like I'm guilty, how do I know you're not a criminal? You TSA people have been caught statistically creating crimes at many times the rate of police officers. Look up the Justice Department numbers on this. The group with the most criminal strikes against them of any law enforcement type group, and by the way, TSA isn't law enforcement, is the TSA. They've got beyond law enforcement powers, beyond the Constitution, but they're running around playing God. So I go through the line, I'm putting my shoes back on, I sit down, and I'm looking back down through the line. And because I'm wanting to see if they're doing behavioral questioning, where these guys literally have power trips when they ask you questions like they took some, 20-hour course and now they think they're mind readers. I've been working with people and researching for decades, and I can't even do that yet by talking to somebody. I've got a good sense, but it isn't near 100%. Well, these idiots now automatically think you're guilty, automatically think you're bad. So I'm wanting to know, was that guy just asking me questions and trying to intimidate me, or are they doing behavioral stuff at Austin? And I can announce to everyone they're doing it at Austin. So then I leave that checkpoint, and I walk on down towards my gate because the Southwest check-in was right there, further down, and I walk back past two checkpoints to the final one, and I watch another guy nicely arguing with him, and I see him holding something up in his hand. Looks like a silver coin. And I think, oh, my God, are they harassing him for some silver coins? Well, then, fate would have it, this guy comes and sits down right next to me on the Southwest flight. He barely makes it. As they're closing the door, he runs in sweating, panting. I was almost late. So about 15 minutes after I get on the plane, they're about to close the door. Here comes this guy. Now I'm going to throw it to Wayne Madsen. He'll be with us till 8 after, so for the next 25 minutes or so. It's just that I'll tell you the rest of the story of what happened to this guy for seven silver coins, 1-ounce coins, and one 10th-ounce gold coin. Less than $600 worth total, he estimated. And this is stuff he bought when silver was, I think he said, $10 an ounce. So he wanted to cash it in while he was here on business and then go to a little bit of, I think he said, blackjack. It was poker. So he was just going to cash in some silver he had because it was fun. He was a well-to-do software engineer. He owns a company in Austin that I'll tell the story next hour. I'm going to get to Wayne, who I appreciate joining us. He actually has a company where he restores old guitars. He quit working for Hewlett-Packard, and he makes the old tubes for amplifiers and stuff. He has a company that does that. It's starting to grow. And here's this really nice guy. I talked to him for 2.5 hours on the flight out here. And then after we got off, I interviewed him about it. But I witnessed them going through his stuff for those coins. Now, I'm going to throw it back to Aaron Dykes so he we can go to Wayne Madsen, but I do want to bring up, after Madsen gets into Libya and the fact that they're putting known Wahhabist jihadis in who say they're putting Sharia law in, I do want to ask Wayne, because after I hang up, I'm going to get on my iPhone app and listen to the free iPhone app. I want to ask Wayne, why are they putting Islamicists in Egypt and Libya and other countries? Clearly now they're wanting to do this. What is the larger geopolitical goal? Well, I'm going to hand it over to Aaron and Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com, and I'll see you back for the full next hour, or eight after. God bless you all. Here's Aaron Dykes and Wayne Madsen.
Thanks, Alex. And again, Alex will be back really not that long from now. But right now we go to investigative journalist, really a muckraker, Wayne Madsen. Thanks for joining us, Wayne.
Hi, good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So first off, we have the news. We have the confession of the rebel who says he killed Gaddafi. We have Hillary Clinton saying it was the work of ordinary Libyans who ousted Gaddafi. And now we have the implementation of Sharia law. Wayne, what's going on in Libya?
Well, I think what we're seeing is the extension of a strategy of tensions. What the net result of this change of government, which let's call it for what it is, it's a coup d'etat, will be civil war. Libya is a nation of tribes. I have now found out, and I'm writing this story right now, but I'll give you a heads up on it. On October 19th at 8 o'clock, between 60 and 70 cars left Sirte. There were reports of white flags all around Sirte, also white flags on these vehicles. 8 o'clock, the sun's up. The white flag is internationally recognized as a flag of truce or a flag of surrender or a flag to negotiate surrender terms. You're not supposed to fire any weapons if you're behind a white flag, and the convoy did not. This was the convoy carrying Gaddafi. When it was 2 miles west of Sirte, after a Predator CIA drone had spotted the convoy, some French planes came in and started firing at the convoy. Other NATO planes came in successive waves. Many of the people were incinerated, drivers, passengers. Others were cut in half by machine gun fire. There are now reports of many members of the Gaddafi tribe, that is the Gaddafi tribe that lives in Sirte, scores of people being found in mass graves. The Gaddafi tribal elder who was negotiating a possible surrender last month, back in September, his home was entered by rebels and he was shot to death. So here we have a possible war crime committed by NATO. And just to give you an idea how long the white flag of surrender and truce has been recognized, although it's recognized in the Hague Convention, conventions of 1899 and 1907, the use of the white flag goes back to the Eastern Han Chinese dynasty of 25 AD. It was recognized by the Roman Empire and every major and minor army since October 19th, when the barbaric forces of NATO may have violated the white flag of truce, the white flag of surrender by Gaddafi's convoy and set upon that convoy. And, of course, we know that Gaddafi was shot in the head by one of the rebels, and that in itself would be a violation of international law. But when we hear Washington and London and Brussels, NATO headquarters, trying and the rebel leadership saying, well, we'll investigate. The big story is here, not so much the extrajudicial execution of Muammar Gaddafi, but the fact that NATO, for the first time since 25 AD, violated in a major way the white flag of truce, the white flag of surrender.
And what do we know about Hillary's role? Her trip overlapped in Libya with his death, and she kind of joked about it on air and said, we came, we saw, he died, and then said, no, we didn't have a role. Well, we probably did have a role in it.
Well, I think this just shows that Hillary, like Barack Obama, they base it, and, you know, the last administration, George W. Bush Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, these individuals seem to revel in the macabre. And maybe the timing a few weeks before Halloween is good, because what we have is a ghoulish bunch of leaders who, it's sort of like some sort of pornography. Now there's a video circulating showing that Gaddafi was being sodomized by a rifle barrel before he was killed. Now this brings up remember Abu Ghraib, the sodomizing of the detainees there, the executions of detainees at Abu Ghraib, and all the other heinous war crimes committed by the United States and its allies. And here we have what seems to be a continuation of this policy. I have to wonder what kind of people are in our CIA and military that would countenance this type of sadomasochistic, bizarre, pornographic death cult, which, you know, I mean, we know that Bin Laden was codenamed Geronimo, and, you know, that brings up the whole story about Geronimo's skull being stolen from Fort Sill by Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, and spirited away to the Skull and Bones compound in the Yale, at Yale University. It just goes to show, I think, that we are a pretty depraved country and have pretty depraved leaders and pretty depraved people in the military that goes along with this type of thing. But to ignore the white flag of surrender, the white flag of truce, I think is a major, major war crime, and one that NATO will try to cover up with all of its resources, because everyone recognizes that that is way beyond the pale when it comes to a war crime, failing right to recognize the white flag of truce.
But then we have, even before they can launch the supposed burial at sea we're told about, we have the talking point coming out that Syria's next. The CNN headline, Syria, Yemen, opposition warned dictators, you're next. McCain's talking about military options in Syria. You have people like Senator, that other senator who says that Assad's basically next. What's going on with that, Wayne Manson?
Well, we had McCain not only talking about if he were Assad, he'd be nervous. He also added Vladimir Putin, who will be the next president of Russia, and the leadership of China. I mean, it's clear that John McCain is insane. They don't call him Insane McCain here in this city for nothing, but it's quite clear that, you know, this guy has no business opening his mouth, because he's basically a mental patient, and he's talking about and I do believe that the CIA now was involved in allowing Gaddafi to be executed, but is he suggesting that it's open season on Assad and then Putin and whoever is going to be the future leadership of China, Hu Jintao and his successors? This is irrational, dangerous talk. And it should not be allowed. And we didn't hear anything from Hillary Clinton or the White House condemning McCain's remarks. And I have to assume that they pretty much agree with McCain, or at least allow him to go out there and make these irresponsible statements, because the United States has designs. You know, today it's Tripoli. What are they saying? Tomorrow will be U.S. Tanks and troops in Damascus and Moscow and then in Beijing. I don't think so. L.A., Washington, and New York will be a heaping pile of radioactive rubble before that happens.
Yeah, but it's queued up without even missing a beat, as if it's a symphony orchestrated completely. I mean, what's really going on with this Arab Spring?
Well, the Arab Spring, I think, I maintain that the Arab Spring started for economic reasons. I mean, remember Tip O'Neill said all politics is local. And when you see the price of bread and other staples go sky high, what happened in Cairo and Tunis was really very similar to what was happening in Athens and Madrid and Rome. Because Tunisia and Egypt were dictatorships, they didn't have that safety valve to let off the steam as they did in Greece and Italy. Although the police, let's face it, have been pretty brutal in both Italy and Greece. But in Egypt and Tunisia, they didn't have it. So what turned out to be a popular uprising, of course, Soros tried to, and his gang of NGOs tried to glom onto it, by using the Twitters and the Facebooks to try to engineer one of these themed revolutions. But what happened there was it was the entire population that rose up, people who didn't know what Facebook was and never used Twitter. They may have had cell phones, but they certainly weren't these, Twitter people. But they hit the streets and forced the governments out. And so the things got out of control. So now in Egypt, you have the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. In Tunisia, there's an Islamist party that's done quite well, apparently, in the elections held yesterday. But even that party aligns itself more to the Turkish Islamist party, which is not radical by any stretch. It's actually very pro-business and pro-democracy. But be that as it may, I think the fact is that the Arab Spring did not have the intention of some of the globalists thought it would have.
Okay, Wayne Mattson, we will be back on the other side of this break with more on what's happening in the Middle East, as well as what's happening financially in Europe and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. This is the Alex Jones Show. Aaron Dyke sitting in. Alex Jones back again next hour. Stay tuned.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are back with investigative journalist Wayne Mattson talking about what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on financially. Alex will be back on the other side of this break. But Wayne, right now I want to get into some of the stuff that's happening in Europe. The London Telegraph headline, New Euro Empire Plot by Brussels for a Single Treasury. You also have the Vatican coming out today calling for a world central bank. What do you see on that front, sir?
Well, anytime I hear anything coming out of the Vatican, I think of the immortal words of Joseph Stalin at the Yalta Conference, where it's FDR, Churchill, and Stalin sitting around, and they're dividing up Europe after the war. And Churchill pipes up and says something, well, what about the Pope? And Stalin says, how many divisions does he have? Who cares what the Vatican thinks? I mean, they got 50 Swiss guards, and that's their military force, and they're enmeshed in scandals pedophilia in almost every country they have a presence. So I wouldn't put any stock in anything the Vatican says. I mean, it's they use a dead language, Latin, and pretty much their influence is much overstated. But as far as the euro is concerned, we now have this food fight that broke out, apparently, between Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president, and David Cameron, the British prime minister. Now, Britain's not a member of the Eurozone. It doesn't use the euro. But Sarkozy apparently told Cameron, mind your own business. You're not in the Eurozone. I think what we're seeing happening here is it's the collapse of the euro. They'll try every which way to try to preserve this, but we already know that the Germans are printing up the Deutschmark and have every intention of bringing back the Deutschmark. And once that happens, you'll have a two-tier system. Other countries in Europe will either peg their currencies to the D-mark, the new D-mark, or they will be using this very much deflated euro, which this will be the situation, of course, in countries like Italy and Spain and Greece. Even in Greece, we see a move to bring back the drachma. The problem with Greece is it's broke. So what would the drachma be worth if it was brought back? It would be a totally deflated currency, and it would be the situation you had in Weimar Germany before World War II. You'd probably take millions and millions of drachma to buy one loaf of bread. So what I see happening in Europe is what's eventually going to happen in the United States, only you've got the problem with these rising nationalism amongst the EU members. So you get into the food fight between Sarkozy and Cameron. Let's face it, the French and the British have never liked one another, and the EU or anything else isn't going to change that fact.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have Van Rompuy trying to seize greater power on the back of this wider economic crisis, Wayne.
Right, right. Now, here's another interesting case. Van Rompuy, a Belgian, Belgium itself is a collapsing country. Belgium hasn't had a workable government in well over a year, almost 2 years, I think. And so what is Belgium? It's Brussels, where you've got NATO and the EU headquartered. The rest of Belgium is split between Flanders, which wants to become independent as a republic, ditching the ties to the Belgian monarchy, and Wallonia, which intends to hook up with France. So Belgium itself, the headquarters for the EU, is a dying country. It's going to split apart.
Right. And we'll be back on the other side in the second hour with more from Wayne Matson and Alex Jones. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Infowars.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live here in the second hour in this jam-packed broadcast. We have Alex Jones joining us again on the other side of this break. And we are still with investigative journalist Wayne Matson. And we've been covering the spectrum here. He's got breaking news on Libya, information about the white flags that were flown in the convoy, which he believes to be Gaddafi's convoy. And at the same time, we see here domestically in the U.S., TSA ramping up its checkpoints. Tennessee, among other places, is now doing highway checkpoints, Wayne. And we've also had reports and eyewitness accounts of people being asked questions about carrying gold and silver coins to the airport and so forth and so on. Where's that front going, Wayne?
Well, I think this is the slippery slope is no longer a slope. It's a cascade. And I've been going back and looking at what was playing back in the 70s and late 60s with Operation Garden Plot and Lantern Spike. The military had similar plans to impose martial law because of the mostly because of the anti-Vietnam War protests. Now we see these Occupy Wall Street protests expanding across the country, and we have an increase in this TSA activity. But going back and looking at what was going on in the late 60s, early 70s, we saw the same thing where the president was given the authority to call up the National Guard and federal troops to basically put down an insurrection that would be deemed an insurrection by the president alone. And I think what we may be seeing here is that the powers are now afraid, and we're seeing this increased TSA activity, because it's one thing to control travel at the airports and the train stations and the bus stations and even rental car facilities, but what? How do you deal with the highways? Well, you deal with the highways by putting up checkpoints, as apparently they're doing in Tennessee at various truck way stations. But I see possibly this expanding to toll booths on toll roads and highways, bridges, and as we've already seen with way stations.
But there's definitely a sense they're getting ready for unrest, whether economic or otherwise. I mean, things are really coming to a boil with Europe putting everything going on domestically here in check. Who knows what will become of Occupy Wall Street, but you could see the energy there, Wayne.
Well, absolutely. The last thing they want to see is like large crowds converge on either New York or Washington. I have to say that the demonstrations here in Washington have been kind of a fizzle, but not so in New York and not so in some other cities. So what better way to prevent the influx of large groups of people than to put TSA security checkpoints on, for example, the New Jersey, Pennsylvania turnpikes, various toll roads in upstate New York and New England and even into the on the bridges and the tunnels into Manhattan itself.
That's a point in itself, Wayne. I mean, why isn't there more anger directed at Washington itself with protests when we know it's not an issue of just capitalism, it's not an issue of just Washington, it's this evil marriage of crony capitalism? Why aren't people getting more sophisticated at targeting that as the real issue behind these economic problems, Wayne?
Well, because Washington itself is not being affected so much by this economic mess that we see in the rest of the country. Most people here in this town are here one way or another. They're feeding off the government, a trough. They're feeding out of the trough. And, and so while you get people sympathetic to some of the protesters, let's face it, I've been down to the protests and I see the same faces as I saw. Are some of the same faces that all the anti-war protests going back.
Stay with us, Wayne. We're going to be back on the other side of this break. Sorry to cut you off. Alex Jones coming up again. Infowars.com. Stay tuned. Other side.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back in this long segment of the second hour. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in on the Alex Jones Show, and we do now have Alex Jones riding shotgun with us for the rest of the hour. And we also have Wayne Madsen still on the line with us. And Alex, what are you going to ask Wayne right now?
Well, I want to thank Wayne Madsen on WayneMadsenReport.com for staying into the second hour. I was going to get into the designed financial implosion and the fact that banks, it's confirmed now, but not just in the newspapers. I'm getting this from chatter online. People I know are now trying to restrict people getting their own money out of banks. This is a very, very dangerous sign. I'm going to be getting into that, the TSA. I'm going to be getting into a host of other important issues here today. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, Wayne Madsen has traveled the entire world. He has recently been in Libya. So has Webster Tarpley while it was being bombarded. Wayne is an impeccable source. He's who brought us the D.C. Madam, you name it. He has broken so many stories for major publications. When I'm watching congressional testimony on national security, you can almost always see Wayne Madsen, you know, there in the second row reporting. And what he broke last hour, as I was sitting here in my hotel room getting ready to go out and shoot some interviews with Jesse Ventura, later this afternoon, absolutely crystallized everything and makes total sense. But when Wayne says he has sources, you better believe he has them. And I've got Kurt Nemo right now doing a blurb on this that, again, will point to WayneMadsenReport.com that he's going to have the full scoop because this is big news. This is huge international news. What you just heard, it makes perfect sense. If you just joined us, Wayne Madsen, anti-submarine warfare expert, then worked for the NSA, RCA, you name it, helped set up some of the major pro-internet freedom organizations that are out there. The reason I'm building him up is you have to understand he's a really good source, and he wouldn't come on air and say he's getting ready to break it with proof and the sources that Gaddafi was under white flag when he was leaving his tribal hometown. Now, why does this make perfect sense? Hillary Clinton flies in. That's announced she's there. She's the head of the State Department. She's the type of leading envoy that someone would turn themselves over to. We know the head of the tribal council where Gaddafi was at a month ago was publicly trying to make deals, and he just wanted promises, Gaddafi did, regardless of what you think of him, that there wouldn't be a civil war. In fact, he was saying that previously, and so was his son, the Shield of Islam, translated. And the only way the Desert Fox, as he's known, he has the same nickname as Rommel, who was in Libya, obviously during World War II, the Desert Fox would not just drive out onto a highway with with a big, long motorcade while he was inside a city under siege, knowing there were drones and all this. Of course. And that's what I thought when this happened a week ago. Why would he drive out in a convoy in front of the whole world? Obviously, he was surrendering. We know these negotiations have been going on. But treacherously, they didn't want it to come out that the West stole tens of millions of dollars he'd invested in U.S. banks, or that he'd made all these deals with the West and hugged Obama and hugged Tony Blair and Sarkozy and financed some of their campaigns. They wanted to double-cross this guy, and so they had to get rid of him. And what adds credibility to this, and we're going to Wayne here, because I want people to realize the magnitude of this. What adds credibility to this is not just his record, Wayne's record, but the fact that a week ago, Wayne said, no, they did execute him. This is a lie that Crossfire killed Gaddafi. That's ridiculous. He was paraded around before all the videos came out and tortured and then shot. And then that was confirmed. Wayne has been to Libya repeatedly. Wayne has met with the leadership. Wayne has the sources. And everything he said has been confirmed. Now think about this. Gaddafi comes out in a motorcade, clearly believes he'd be a madman, like a sitting duck, driving out in a motorcade, into the middle of the rebels that have surrounded the town. Of course he had a white flag. Of course. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And now they've been caught lying and said, oh, he got killed in Crossfire. Even when there were videos and photos of him being drug around, they still said, oh, no, he got killed in Crossfire. And now, no, everybody, they've released the video of the rebels shooting him execution style, as they were ordered to do. They were told, we're handing him over to you, we're going to bomb out this motorcade, you get the body, make sure he never comes back. And they did that. Those rebels are going to follow those globalist orders. This, and for those that don't know, Wayne is absolutely right as a historian. This goes back to China and the Romans. It is close to 2,000 years old in the history books, probably 2,500 years old, the previous dynasty in China. The white flag means I am giving up, and it is an incredible, from my historical research, one of the biggest war crimes you can commit is when somebody runs up a white flag or says quarter going after him. It is against the law. It is unchivalrous. It is the most dastardly, because this is what happens. Needlessly, whole armies then get killed. If somebody tries to give up, but you learn that an enemy won't let you give up, you're going to fight to the end, and that will cause the other army to have greater casualties. This has all been figured out thousands of years ago. And it means that the other side will do even more desperate things, and it escalates into total barbarism. So I've got Kurt Nemo listening right now. He's going to get a blurb out on this. A, Wayne, those are, because we'll have to hold you to the bottom of the hour. This is so important, but I had to preface all of this. Wayne, you've got the floor, but I want to go through these questions with you. Specifically, what can you tell us about the sources? How you're confirming the white flag was there? Obviously, it had to be. It makes perfect sense. A. B. The government's been caught lying and saying he wasn't shot when now it's confirmed they were lying. C. Am I right in saying clearly Hillary's there as the signal to him, okay, have Hillary come, I will meet with her, I will turn myself in. I mean, clearly, all this makes perfect sense, but you say you have the sources. This is huge news. This is unbelievable. So break it down, Wayne.
Okay, on the morning of October 19th, that was last Thursday, right as the sun broke, there were reports that I was getting Twitter messages coming out of CERT, coming from vantage points where the rebels were, where neutral parties were, saying there are white flags being seen in the city of CERT. Now, if we were told several things in the news reports. One, that there were plans made by Gaddafi to leave CERT before morning prayers. Morning prayers, the first call to prayer is around 5 o'clock a.m. That's usually before you have the sun up, so it's still pretty dark. You really can't see a white flag in darkness or before the sun is up. So you're going to wait till the sun is pretty high up in the sky before you try to leave under a flag of truce. So here the sun comes up and white flags are seen all over CERT, seen from various buildings. Now, this city's been obliterated, so you're seeing white flags from the vehicles. Now, they're cobbling together this motorcade. I'm not saying that every vehicle had a white flag, but, you know, what do you use? You use a sheet, you use a pillowcase, use whatever you can as a white flag. If they wanted to try to sneak out, why would they have not done it at night? Why did they wait till the sun was up to try to leave CERT? Because you want to wait till the sun is up so you can clearly see the white flag of truce, the white flag of surrender. That's why they waited that long. That's why they didn't get out at night. But that made them sitting ducks, of course, for the predators, which, you know, the predator locked on to their to them immediately. It was probably all on a live video feed back to Langley and General Petraeus, kindly old General Petraeus, who loves using drones to kill people. He's done it in Iraq, and he's done it in Afghanistan. So here we have this situation. Now, as far as Hillary's presence there, I don't know if she was involved with that. Certainly her chortling before the interview saying, you know, we came, we saw, he died. You know, if she was involved in any kind of negotiations and still said that, I mean, the woman is obviously mentally ill, or she's so evil that, you know, the words can't describe it. Anyway, that's the situation. I'll add that the chief tribal elder of the Kadatfa tribe in CERT, who you had mentioned had been in negotiations last month on a surrender, he was obviously involved in this, and the rebels went into his home, unarmed old man, and shot and killed him.
My next question to you is that it's been confirmed that there were massacres in the town and the mass graves, and now people are calling for an investigation, but NATO runs it, so how do you investigate when the foxes run the hen house? But that would show a cover-up. The fact that they ran in and tried to execute the constabulary instead of trying them or whatever, as rebels would normally do taking over, showed there was an attempt to cover something up. And the way the White House jumped on it and said, no, we didn't execute him, nobody did, he died in crossfire, the way that they were so ready with those cover stories, that shows the spinning and scripting that this whole thing was a complete setup. Yeah, Gaddafi drives out in broad daylight, of course. The city's encircled. There's predator drones in the sky. It's rubble. He would know that would be suicide to drive out in broad daylight unless he had an agreement and was coming in, and we know that was being negotiated. Hillary lands. It's announced. Gaddafi then is going to come in. Boom, this happens. Stay there, Wayne. Let's do five more minutes because I want to go back into the history of this and what this signifies. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Aaron Dykes riding shotgun with us. WayneMadisonReport.com is Wayne's excellent website. Breaking news. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in as Alex calls and reports from the road, and we still have Wayne Madsen with us for one more segment. Alex.
Well, it's just insane to see how decadent our culture's gotten. There are children all over this casino, and they've got in the elevators ads for bars here where it shows young women basically grabbing on each other sexually. And again, this is advertised as a family casino where they put me up here where we're doing interviews and stuff around town. And it just shows how far we've fallen as a society. Torture, secret arrest, secret execution, killing of U.S. citizens. And as Ron Paul said to the moderators at a debate, he said, you're all in danger too. I mean, this is fundamental stuff that bad guys do. You know, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, secret police, secret arrest. But America's been sold that it's sexy, it's tough, it's cool. You know, people run up white flags, you kill them. It's so dangerous. And they say, well, Gaddafi's a bad guy, so he deserves it. And now they're putting al-Qaeda groups in charge, and they've got shoulder-fired launchers. I mean, for those that aren't into history like you and I are, Wayne Madsen, for those that don't know, I mean, the magnitude of a white flag. Obviously, he had a white flag coming out in broad daylight in the middle of all that. The magnitude of the treachery, the magnitude of killing people with white flags, I guess people don't understand that is the ultimate treachery, is it not in warfare?
Went back to try to find in recent history whether there were any abuses, even you know, by the German Nazis, the Japanese Imperial Army, and I couldn't find any major examples of a white flag of truce or surrender being ignored. Certainly, even in the Battle of the Bulge, there was a white flag. There was an attempt of a negotiation, and it was honored. But whatever was worked out in CERT was done so rapidly, I don't think there was a lot of planning, because some reports, when the white flags were first seen, some people outside of CERT who were still hoping that Gaddafi would be triumphant were actually tweeting the message that the rebels are surrendering. So that's how much confusion there was even on the Gaddafi side about the appearance of the white flag. So I would say that whatever was done at the last minute, probably in haste, but certainly was not. Now, one thing NATO could say, and they may try to spin this when we start hearing more reports about the white flag, oh, well, it wasn't coordinated, we didn't know about it. And then the rebels, we know, they can't even decide on what to do with the body over there. It's rotting in this meat refrigeration unit. It's long since the Islamic, religious burial stricture. It has to be buried before sundown the next day. So it's way beyond that. But I think this goes to show what kind of people, as you say, are involved with the rebels, people that don't even honor a white flag of truce, a white flag of surrender.
And we know the drones certainly didn't do that, and they could clearly see flags if they're there in broad daylight. I mean, they can zoom in on a penny on the ground and read the date.
Absolutely.
Now, Wayne, let's expand on this just briefly, because I've got Kurt Nimmo doing a report. You're saying you're compiling the tweets, things that are out there, reports, but I know you've also had a lot of sources in Libya. What other documentation do you have for this, other than those tweets and the common sense that he wouldn't drive out in broad daylight under Predator drones and out to rebels if he wasn't believing it was part of a surrender deal?
Well, there was also witnesses on the scene who didn't tweet, but have stated that there were white flags seen all over CERT that morning.
Sure, and to be specific, you've been to Libya repeatedly, and we need to get Tarpleyon about this as well, but you're saying that you have sources in Libya that are saying this?
Yes.
Okay, good. When is your report coming out, so in our report we can tell folks what to look forward to that?
Well, I'm still working on it. I wanted to give you a heads up. It should be out no later than tomorrow.
Okay, great. We'll tell folks to look for that report tomorrow, and that you've got sources on the ground, but also you've got the tweets and that's and more, and also the tribal leader a month ago, we know, was trying to negotiate that. And the fact that they went in and executed him in his house, I mean, this is just incredible level. From your research, do you think they gave them the order to make sure Gaddafi didn't make it out of there and to execute him?
Well, even though the logistics may have been last minute, obviously this had to have been approved by higher levels. So, yes, I would say that this had been worked out, that Obama must have known about it. Hillary, Cameron, Sarkozy, the NATO Secretary General, all the key players must have known about it, in addition, obviously, to the rebel leadership.
Yeah, this had to be set up, premeditated war crime. Thank you, Wayne Madsen. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Key Information.
Freedom is good enough for me, but not good enough for the BBC, who's reporting that the U.S. Declaration of Independence is somehow illegal. Perhaps we'll get into that later. We still have Alex Jones on with us, reporting live from Las Vegas, riding shotgun. Alex, what are we getting into right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually have a little list here of things I wanted to get into, and that's one of them. So I'm glad you reminded me. So make sure before this hour ends and Mr. Henningsen joins you that we talk about that some. The first thing is I'm going to get into this whole cashless society and how close we are to it and what's happening with the banks. Could there be an engineered run on banks, or will it happen regardless? I want to break that down with some big developments that are taking place. Also, states to limit hospital stays, some to cut Medicare coverage to 10 days. So the real unraveling and collapse of society is accelerating. We're going to get into that. I'm going to finish up with a gentleman flying with 7 silver coins, 1 little bitty gold coin, 10th of an ounce. We're talking less than $600 worth of stuff that I saw being interrogated, and then I had a chance to interview him after our plane got to Las Vegas. He happened to be on the same plane that I was on, so I'm going to tell that story that I've already alluded to, and the fact that they're now doing behavioral screening at the Austin airport. It's just incredible. I mean, they take these people that don't even have basic law enforcement training and teach them that they can, you know, portend like soothsayers exactly psychically by asking questions. My answer is, hey, let me ask you questions. You going to steal from my bag? You going to plant drugs on me? You going to? Are you a pedophile? I mean, statistically, you guys have a lot of criminals in your midst. A lot of control freak criminals get into this position. How about I put you on the hot seat? How about you're guilty until proven innocent, punk? Okay, I'm already digressing. But we get so focused on the news here that we tend to not even promote everything else we're doing. The nightly news, ladies and gentlemen, has a 6-person team on it. We put a ton of time, energy, and money, incredible special reports, incredible reports on the ground, incredible interviews. I mean, I am really proud of the news we're doing. If there's any weak link, it's Alex Jones, because we are teleprompter free. And some nights is dynamite, spot on. Other nights, the news turns into 2 hours because I just start pontificating on everything, as I'm known to do. But overall, it is a revolution in media, teleprompter free, real analysis, real information. We wear our bias for liberty and freedom on our sleeve where everybody can see it. And this is revolutionary. And I'm very excited that we've gotten a lot of new PrisonPlanet.tv members. We're adding more and more functions. All my films, the books, the nightly news, the on-the-road special reports, the live reports when I start giving speeches in other cities. We're going to stream those speeches there on the site as well. But we need the capital. And it is those of you that become members that fund our operation. So if you were a PrisonPlanet.tv member years ago and let it elapse, we've got, I mean, it's 100 times better than it was before. It works so much better, a lot of better servers. Some nights, different browsers or whatever, the audio gets off the video. If there's any glitches in the streaming, we just bought a bunch of expensive equipment. I say expensive, like, you know, $20,000 pieces of equipment. A lot of the streaming stuff to make sure your show streams out live properly is like $20,000, $30,000, $100,000. But we've been trying to do it with, you know, cheaper equipment, and we're having to buy a bunch of equipment right now. So your PrisonPlanet.tv, but it doesn't matter because the MP4s and MP5s, different video postings that we put up, those are super crisp, and that's all synced up. But that's after the show. Some nights it's live. Other nights it's taped right before and goes live. And it tends to stream better when it is live. It's sometimes when we, like, have the, you know, like an hour before it goes live, you know, I finish the report, and sometimes it's part live and then part tape reports we've done. The point is we're really beta testing this. This is a new way to do the news, and it's revolutionary. So I want to thank everybody that have become PrisonPlanet.tv members. You know, with every username and passcode, we have it set where you can share it with 6 people. 6 people can be simultaneously logged in under the same username and passcode. So really, when you get 1 membership, you get 5 free. Now, don't use a username and passcode that's on your bank account, folks. I've tried to. That's a little added point we have in there. If you're going to share your passcode, make sure it's, you know, something like you know, ridiculous or simple, but something that isn't what you use on your other passcodes. But we may just start, you know, having it randomly generate codes for people, you know, so they can share it with other folks. We're going to try to have some events where, you know, it's totally free for a week so folks can test it out. My plan is to add more shows. I mean, I've got I want to do a Second Amendment show. I want to do a land rights show. I want to hire reporters. I want to expand this. And then we're right at goal. In fact, we're in danger of slipping beneath goal for getting members to be able to finance all this. So if you're not a member, become one. Or if you're already a member, go buy another membership. Give it to people. This is how we get the word out. Also, we have the fourth annual Money Bomb, and we raised $430,000-something last year. That sounds like a lot. When you got 35 employees and four or five contractors, that's really nothing. But it turns out to be about 20% of our operating capital, and we've gotten to where we need that. We've gotten to where we depend on it. It was never my idea to have a Money Bomb. Listeners started it 4 years ago. You notice we're doing this in November, not in October. I was looking at not even doing one this year, but I want to hire a couple more reporters. I want to hire another director on top of due so that he's not up there every night till 9 o'clock at night. The point is I want to beef up what we're doing so we've got – basically, we're playing a football game with our A-team, with our starters, and that's it. There is no second group, and so I need to develop at least a some depth. I need depth in my player roster here at Fighting the Globalist, okay? And everybody's happy. The problem is with the nightly news is it's great. They produce too many packages, too much news. It's like because they're always right up to the line, you know, getting it done. And I'm the same way. So we're pouring our guts out in this fight, ladies and gentlemen. We are literally busting our butts, and we need your help. And we've done all this because of your help. I'm thanking you. But go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You start donating now. Last year we had $100,000 donated before the Money Bomb even started. And we got to 430-something thousand. I forget the exact number. I think it's 437,000. And so we're starting way late this year with like 15 days of promotion, I think, total. And, you know, now we're up to, I don't know, it's like how many days away. It's the third, so let me see, 7 days, 10 days away. 10 days away or so from November 3rd. And that's not even the best time to have the Money Bomb. I know it's in October, so that's a good time for the whole holiday diversion begins. So we need your help. We need your help because I don't want to. I'm spending a lot of our reserve capital right now. I don't like to spend it all, but I will. I've decided to. These banks can't be trusted anyways. I try to always have 4 or 5 months of operating capital. You know, like a quarter tank, basically, in the office's gas tank. But I'm just going to spend it all. And then if we ever get to where we're out of money entirely, I'll just say, please, folks, buy a bunch of my DVDs or something. But I want to get into the news. The point is we never really plug sponsors or anything here because we're so busy. The sponsors are supporting us. Please support them. The T-shirt purchases, all of your orders now get a In the Fed, Arrest the Banksters, Infowars.com. Really good-looking bumper sticker that our graphics folks designed. All the orders get a free citizen rule book, evil anti-globalist stuff that they're debating in the news. Should it be illegal? It's got a Declaration of Independence in it. It's got it all. We put bumper stickers and stuff in there, Infowars.com bumper stickers. Everywhere I go now, I see Infowars.com bumper stickers. In fact, I saw one last night when I went out to dinner in Vegas on a power box. When I was down at South Padre, I saw not one but two Infowars stickers. And I'm not even looking for them, and I'm seeing them. So good job to everybody out there. You can also buy them pretty much close to cost at Infowars.com en masse and get them out. Okay, that said, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or just InfoWars.com/MoneyBomb. And we're here risking our names, our treasure, our blood, our sweat, our tears, and our lives to bring you this information as we attempt to not let the United States go the way of Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia and Maoist China. That said, I don't even feel up right now to trying to describe the full spectrum situation that we are dealing with the cashless society. Aaron, while I get my notes out, I actually wrote some notes up over the last few days with the cashless society. Give me your take. going back to overall on what InfoWars has built, what we're doing, and our team.
Well, it's been incredible, Alex. I've helped Rob Jacobson and some of the other editors review the footage just from building this new studio. And it's been several years in the making, as you know. And it's just, it was totally from the ground up. They didn't even have the walls in that building. They had to put in the glass for the studio. They had to bring in all the furniture. They had to put in the soundproofing, all the cabling and wiring, the lighting systems.
That's why we were full time working 15 hours a day, making films, doing radio shows, researching news articles. I mean, we're such a small team. You know, you've got four or five people in the shipping department, a couple customer service, three or four IT people, three or four editors, a couple TV people, a couple people, a couple sales guys, a couple people in accounting, the great folks that run the radio/TV show, three people there. I mean, we're a very small team, and that's why we need these donations. We need to create at least some depth. I mean, imagine a football team with a starting lineup, and that's it.
It's crazy, Alex, but somehow we get it done. And that was even at the same time you had expanded the show to 4 hours, and then we added the nightly news. That takes a lot of work to do. As you know, I'm about to go cover the InfoWars nightly news. We have a whole package coming up tonight. Even as we do the radio show, we're getting ready for that.
No, I just got to say, we've got dedicated people. What's great is I can even hire folks that aren't into this stuff, you know, with ads on Craigslist. People don't know what job they're getting. And I've hired people who don't even know about this stuff, and a few months into it, you can't even get them to go home because they're discovering more. And I think that's what's going to defeat the globalists. If we can just get people out of their trance, their literal trance, like zombies, and get them to look into the real world, once they discover this stuff's going on, it's interesting, it's horrifying, but it's also addicting to learn about it and then fight it. I mean, there's a whole real world going on right around us. And it's like, do you want to wake up from the Matrix or do you want to stay in it?
I think the problem is it seems almost like entertainment sometimes because it's so fascinating, so much like all these scientific dystopic films. I don't want to get blunted by all that propaganda that's out there because this stuff is happening. It's very real. All the sterilization, all this eugenics plots, all the world government stuff has been creeping in for decades and decades, Alex, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah, I wrote all these notes on the little free pad of paper they give you because I write faster than I type. And, I mean, I can't even describe the capital controls. I mean, it is just mentally and psychically exhausting because you have these realizations as information connects and crystallizes. And, of course, you already inherently know it, but then to see it actually manifesting, I mean, imagine, in America, if you told people 20 years ago that you go to the airport and a guy says, "We got a troublemaker here, where are you going?" And then, really? Jesse Ventura, right. And then you go through the line, you're walking by another checkpoint. You know, as you go to your gate, you see another guy with silver in his hand and the TSA asking him what it is. And then you say, "Oh my God, I got to get to my flight. I could see the gate down there. It was almost completely boarded." And I go and I sit down, and 15 minutes later, as the plane's about to close the door, the guy comes and sits next to me, or the last seat's full, and I'm so, well, anyway, side issue. The point is, it was like fate that he'd be on my plane and then sit right next to me because it was like two seats left. One guy got on. A black guy got on real late and got the seat behind me, and then this guy got on last and got the very last seat on the plane. Totally full, and then it's the guy I see being searched for the silver on a busy, you know, Saturday at the Austin airport, and then he sits down, and then I'm not even going to say anything to him because I don't want to bug him, and then I'm talking, he goes, "Aren't you Alex Jones?" And it turns out he's a listener. And then he describes what he went through for like 6 minutes, he said at least. They asked him, "Why do you have the silver? Where are you going? What's it for?" We're talking 7 silver coins, U.S. you know, mint, 1 ounces, and 1/10 of an ounce, little gold coin. I forgot to ask him what type it was. He was trying to show it to me in the airport, but I was too busy talking. And then we got off the airplane. I interviewed him there in Las Vegas with the slot machines, you know, in the background at the airport, only in Vegas. And again, if you just tuned in, I'm here to be interviewed for the TV show by Jesse Ventura. I was interviewed some yesterday. I'll be interviewed this afternoon. People are asking, what are you doing in Vegas? Believe me, folks, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for work. That's where Ventura's meeting a bunch of people because he won't fly now because of the TSA. And then you're like, you're always criticizing Vegas, and now you're there. Duh, this is where they're doing the interviews. But it doesn't matter. It's always crucify Alex Jones. The point is that I'm here, and I'm watching this guy go through these capital controls that they always put on countries right as the nation collapses, right as they're getting ready to devalue the currency, right as they're getting ready to freeze how much money you can get out. And under a cashless society, if you think Bank of America and other banks announcing $5 every time you use your own debit card, not only, you know, is it banks aren't going to give you much interest on not even 1% on money you have in their bank, now they're starting to say they're going to charge you to keep your money in the bank, and they're going to charge you every time you use it. And then when they do automatic deposits from work, they're saying they're going to take a piece. When you use it to pay a bill, they're saying they're going to take a piece. This is the debt bondage. It doesn't just track everything you do, and it just doesn't let the global technicians manipulate the economy and exempt themselves. Like Goldman Sachs has been caught with that computer system they've got that can log into the stock market and siphon off, you know, a tenth of a percent, hundreds of billions a week, cheating everyone. That's what this whole gamed grid is. It's turning the whole world into a rigged slot machine. And then Sunday morning, I get up real early, and I'm hungry, and all the shops and the casino are closed. I want to eat. And they say, well, you can go to the buffet. So I'll tell you the cashless society buffet story when we come back, and I'll be here till 8 after, then Mr. Henningsen's joining us. And then I'll break down all the other cashless society things I've seen while I've been here. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Special report on this on the nightly news and then re-air on the radio in the next few weeks, but I really want to do a good job. I want to try to give hundreds of examples of customer loyalty cards, what they're really for. More and more grocery stores, more and more Home Depots don't even have people there to check you out. You've got to go through the self-checkout. It wants you to thumbprint. It's all about dehumanizing, not having a human you can talk to. Then even when you do talk to a human, they have convenience stores here in the hotel, and I was buying some shaving cream, and there was a lady in front of me buying a six-pack of beer, and she looked like she was about 80 years old. I mean, she was on a cane, whole nine yards, I guess going up to her hotel room, and the lady carded her. And then I was sitting there eating at a hotel bar for lunch, and I saw them carding people who looked like they were 55, you know, 60 years old, couples. And I said to the lady, I said, you know, they're taking your humanity out of the equation. They're training you to show an ID. But then, yesterday morning, at about 8 a.m., I'm looking all around this giant city of a casino for somewhere to eat, and they go, well, go to the buffet. And I go up, and it says, go through this line if you're a hotel guest, and they're going to use your hotel card and have an ID to eat on that, or go through this if you have cash or credit card. So the buffet is $25. Well, I'm not going to pig out, but I got to eat. So I go over and I stick a $20 bill and a $10 bill. It asks me where I'm from. It starts asking me questions. I'm sitting there trying to, even when I'm paying with cash, it wants to know a bunch of stuff before the little turnstile gate will let me go through. Now, it gets worse. Enterprise Rent-A-Car. The production company, you know, says, you know, you're going to need a rent car because you're driving out to locations. So I go to pick up the rent car when I fly in Saturday. And this is the cashless society. And I go up there, and it's Enterprise next to two other companies, and they're all doing it. Hi, how you doing? Where are you going? What you doing? Who are you visiting? Oh, really? Why are you visiting them? What business are you in? And they're all asking them secret police questions. Now, the guy behind the Enterprise counter, black guy, Now listen to this carefully. I just go up, give him the itinerary printout I had, the confirmation code, and the guy says, "What do I do with this?" And the computer goes, "That's VIP. That's under the entertainment division." He goes, "You don't have to run him through it." And I heard him whisper this, and the guy goes, "You're free to go. It's waiting." They didn't ask me all the questions because it was through a company, and I was under some VIP thing. But the point is, everyone else, while I stood there in line for 20 minutes, was being literally 20 questioned like they were crossing customs. Okay? So this is the secret police system. This is where the tyranny is. It's not just at the airports. They're going to ask you questions. They do it now at grocery stores, everywhere. They're trained as little see-something, say-something spies. The truck drivers, everybody. Then I get to the hotel. Okay? Now, you know, in the evening, I just want to get something to eat and go to bed. Boom, you know, right after I check in, Ventura arrives. The point is, the woman gives me like 50 questions. I mean, this went on and on for like 25 minutes. And I'm like, come on, you got it. She kept acting like she didn't have it in the computer unless I answered all her questions. Oh, it's an entertainment company. What is it? What are you doing in the show? And I'm like, lady, I've given you my ID. You've gotten a credit card for incidentals, even though it says in there. I know it says my food just paid for. And I mean, it's really nice to her, too. I'm sitting there, and I'm getting question after question after question, and she won't check me in till I answer all of it. This country is a giant, stinking Nazi prison. Don't put up with it anymore, people.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back in the third hour. This is Aaron Dyke sitting in, but we still have Alex Jones on the line joining us now. And you heard him before talking about all the cashless checkpoints, all the secret spy questions you get asked at car rental places. I've seen the same thing. And I told him the last time I was in Denver when I had to wait an hour because the line was totally long and they asked 10 or 20 questions of you. Where are you going? What are you doing? Is this business or pleasure? I said, I'm not going to participate in your database. And the guy tried to tell me it was required by law. And I just refused to answer his questions. I still got the rental car,
you
of course.
You know why he said that? See, that's Patriot Act compliance. That's totally unconstitutional. It's know your customer for banking. And now they say it's for hotels, rental cars, businesses, and that's why they admit this going back a decade. The reason they card everybody for tobacco, beer, now gas, anything, they're now saying gas could be used as a weapon. It's guilty until proven innocent. They're training you for the cashless society where you have to do everything on a card. Even if you pay cash, you're going to have to swipe the card to prove the chain of that cash wasn't involved in money laundering or drugs or black market economy. That's why a bunch of states are moving to ban cash and secondhand sales. I want people to realize the magnitude of this. I mean, literal 20 questions, but because a major corporation with its TV network was in a database because it's Time Warner, then, oh, I was VIP. They were waiting, kissing my hind end down there when I came with the keys. They were all there because I was VIP. Everybody else, though, had to be put into the database, but I was trusted because I was part of the big corporate structure. I mean, this is the New World Order system. This is where this is going with the trusted traveler. And it's all about them being able to turn your accounts off. Once it's cashless, you can buy or sell without it. And these atheists are like, oh, shut up, Christian, even if you don't believe in the Bible. Folks, what a horrible idea to give a corrupt state this power. And I know after the break, you're going to get into this Atlantic article where they say, yes, domestic checkpoints are coming to highways and shopping malls and football stadiums near you. What's wrong with that? It's a wonderful, good idea. These people are giving people attitude at the checkpoints. Folks, and they say it's a privilege to drive. It's not a privilege. Under commerce, in the 1920s, they made it a privilege under county laws to drive large trucks. They sold the public on, they're making money on roads you're paying for. Make them pay a percentage. They use class envy. It is not a privilege to travel and have mobility. Now they're trying to make under common law. They're turning the whole country into a taxed and polled and controlled giant prison. You are in a prison. You were treated like a five-year-old child who's going to the planetarium when you try to get a rental car, when you check into a hotel, when you go to restaurants, they ask you 20 questions. When you go anywhere, they ask for your zip code. When you pay with cash now, they ask you why you're paying with cash. They've got billboards up saying cash is bad. Listen, most of these, they don't even have people actually dealing the cards now. They have a projection and like a hologram on one on another. It looks like a real woman dealing the cards for people. Again, humans are completely being phased down. The only growth sector is quasi-police security guards who are knighted by the TSA to have this power to wave a wand and be outside the Constitution. Aaron.
Yeah, and you see the lure of all this high-tech stuff as though we're supposed to just all lap it up and enjoy it when it's meant there to control us. You remember the Army War College preparing for economic unrest and riots in Arizona, I believe, back in 2008. They knew all this stuff was coming down, and they know what the public does or would do, that they might fight back against the system when this comes down. That's why you see the police state, the checkpoints, going with the currency controls, as you talk about, the cashless society, and all the database questions. We're going to be back on the other side. Alex will be with us, and Patrick Henningsen will join us as well. We're going to cover it all. Stay tuned, InfoWars.com, and tonight, the InfoWars Nightly News.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
You can bet your life on eFoods Direct. Alex has told you about the amazing, great-tasting, long-term storable food from eFoods Direct and how a food savings account is your best insurance against natural disasters, job loss, and high food costs. But did you know that this dehydrated food also protects you against foodborne contaminants like E. coli and Salmonella? Those poisonous critters can't live in low-moisture food from eFoods Direct. Ask for the Alex Fall Special. The Fall Special is a 24-day supply of food in a convenient portable container, a $259 value for only $199. Save $60 on 160 servings of the best food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask for the Alex Fall Special and go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 24 hours, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
society grid, there is no doubt that our republic is falling right now. And that means your bank accounts, your liberty, your freedom, your freedom of mobility, it's all being butchered. Time Magazine, Newsweek, Washington Post are writing endless articles about the Constitution being bad and evil. Mainstream newspapers across the U.S. and England actually heralded a debate that they had last week where they said the Declaration of Independence was terrorist and evil, and that inherently we do not have a right to say that a government isn't over us. They're actually teaching tyranny now that government is God, and fundamentally no one has a right to rebel. And the BBC ran the headline, "Is the Constitution illegal?" And then it had a serious discussion and tried to discredit the idea of natural law. Now, under their system, they're saying that if a black person is chained up in your backyard 180 years ago, and is a slave because you have the power of the gun, and you say that you know that you have the power of government, that might makes right, and so that person is not a human and has to pull a plow for you. It actually says there is no natural rights. Government is God. The Queen of England is God. I know Aaron has the article. And that they have a right as a sovereign, and our founding fathers were bad. And they came to the U.S. and had a debate about this and sold this idea, even though in England they had overthrown the power of the monarch many times. I mean, this is just so asinine. And when you go across this country, you see these little children with their parents being inducted, being groped, being microwaved ovened, being questioned by the TSA. And the whole idea is you're being taught that you're bad. You're being taught you're a prisoner. In a free society, no one has run-ins with police. No one gets interrogated. Every tyranny always has these quasi-fake police. These minders, these commissars that are part of the whole apparatchik. That's what they're doing. This is absolute textbook. Like a duck in your backyard, if you've got a pond and a duck's out there, it's a duck. This is a tyranny. This is 100% diabolical, transpartisan. The entire government structure is now absolute scientific dog training evil, phasing out cash, bringing in a total system of control where they can tax, regulate, control, abuse the living daylights out of you. As Aaron mentioned earlier, the military admits since 2008 they're training for martial law, total financial collapse. I told you that years ago. I went to urban warfare drills and witnessed this 12 years ago. They've been getting ready for this worldwide. So has the British government. So have other governments. Even the London Telegraph said the EU dictatorship plan revealed, and it shows that it's a private banking group secretly engineering the collapse and the takeover. I mean, von Rumpy admits this is hailing it as the birth of world government run by private banks that literally financially rape you seven ways to Sunday. And then Aaron was mentioning to me an Atlantic article, and I pulled it up here, and it's like, how dare the American people have a give attitude to the new domestic checkpoints TSA is going to set up on the highways and search your car for your safety. It's a privilege to drive. It's a privilege, and we're going to search you at shopping malls and sports stadiums and everywhere. Well, I guess you can say it's a privilege on private property to go to a football game. The problem is they always have government backing and funding to build the stadium, so courts have ruled they can't really do what they're doing. Folks aren't even aware of that little wrinkle there. But the point is that you have these modern public commons where they're getting rid of the Bill of Rights and saying they're going to grope people now and have X-ray machines. And this is the new industry for America. This is the military-industrial complex absorbing and taking over our republic. Okay, and again, this is Alex Jones from Las Vegas here with Jesse Ventura shooting episodes of his TV show, and so I'm here via phone. I should have brought a Skype system. Aaron Dykes is the main host there in the studio in Austin, Texas, and we're breaking this down. Ladies and gentlemen, it is known in every society that internal checkpoints are the hallmark of a tyranny. Now, it's been ruled hundreds and hundreds of times federal, thousands of times at the state level, that warrantless checkpoints are illegal. And now, as we told you they would, the TSA is starting checkpoints all over the country. And what does the, quote, liberal Atlantic Monthly come out and say? Oh, it's wonderful. Hey, let's get used to it. Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes said we should get a microchip under our skin to prove we're good so we can go to a football game. And let me tell you something. These zombies that only care about football, they do it. We are living in a dystopic nightmare system, and it's fixing to get 100 times worse, and that's not a figure of speech. Everything we've seen is only the preparatory phase of the dominoes being set up. Now, a lot of us foresaw this, so we warned people, and that's why we've got a chance here. But if you're not getting chills right now, folks, we're not just going into some corrupt system. This is a scientific murder machine that openly states, once world government is established, it is going to start soft-killing people even faster. The cancer is triple. The diabetes is doubling and tripling. All these new diseases are exploding. Diseases of the gut are exploding. Deformities are exploding. We know in all the studies the GMO transgenetic systems within three generations render an end of days children of men in fertile deformity in 99% of the rats and guinea pigs. Mayday, mayday, emergency global transmission. Break out of your trance now. You are being incrementally murdered by the globalists. Their control grid is going into place. I am here in Las Vegas. Almost everything is cashless. They've got virtual dealers that I've shot video of. They make you give ID when you pay for cash, for eggs, for a buffet, for pancakes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in an emergency. They are passing laws all over the world, and including Louisiana. Other states have it introduced to not let you use cash in secondhand transactions because you're guilty until proven innocent. The total system is upon you. Whether you're a cop or a military or a bureaucrat, you are under attack as well. You are under high-tech mind control. You're under chemical attack in the food and water, biological attack in the food. You are with us, the people. You are being killed as well. I looked at those TSA guys in Austin. The last thing I said, you know the body scanners are coming here. You know those things fry you. And they laughed. The guy laughed. It's funny. He thinks if he laughs, it doesn't matter if they have a 7-plus-fold increase in cancers at Boston Logan because they've had the scanners for 8 years. He thinks if he laughs, it defeats me. It is a delusional, insane, out-of-control view. 20 years ago, they wouldn't let the troops use depleted uranium. They wouldn't let the troops use depleted uranium in combat because they knew it was a blowback soft-kill weapon where it ignited, even if it was a small round or a large, and that you would breathe it, and that it would reduce your life expectancy by decades. They don't care now. Now they just use it. Each psychopaths are running things. I've analyzed the globalists. They are destroying their own future and their own system. They're into death. Everybody I know wears skulls. I see old ladies with handbags now with skulls all over them. I see children in the elevators with big posters of two young women grabbing each other in a sexual embrace, scantily clad with little children. We have become a demonic hell force. We have become a huge, giant demonic cancer, bubbling and pussing and scrofulating into hell itself. We are in a total emergency. The people have literally been put into a trance. Everybody in this hotel is wearing football jerseys. The dealers, the servers, everybody's wearing football outfits, mindless jerseys, and the men are all wearing them, and the women are all wearing them. And I was sitting in a restaurant, and the Bears won the football game yesterday, and the guy looked at the woman and said to her, "You're not cheering." And it was just all this weirdness that they don't even have a culture. They don't even have a future. They don't have anything. They just sit there sycophantically watching this game as everything implodes and burns down. And now, all over the country, they're not letting people get their cash out. All over the country, people come in with $5,000 from a car they sold. So give me cash. No, we're not giving it to you. You got to deposit it here, and then we'll put fines and fees on you and let you get it out over a month. It is total prisoner behavior. Every time I cross the state line and try to use my credit card for gas or anything, it's not fraud protection. It's keeping tabs on me. It's getting me used to I can't use my money. Everybody is being conditioned for this. Everybody is being told this. And now, Aaron, what do you make of the open demonization of the Declaration of Independence and mainstream media going, yeah, is it bad? Well, let me tell you, they teach police that it is bad. I have
footage. That's right. I've been told that from people, too, I know, who are training for law enforcement, that they're taught in college that the Constitution no longer applies, Alex.
Well, let's just tell people, that's your brother.
Yeah.
Now, let's expand on this. I have the footage from 11 years ago in Kansas City. They teach police George Washington's bad. They actually say Thomas Jefferson's bad. These are the traitors. Folks, if you're a cop sitting there being trained that the founding fathers are bad, the bad guys are the ones that would tell you that. I mean, that's like if the Soviets took over or Hitler did, they'd be telling us crap like this. I mean, come on, folks. Right there. That'd be like if space aliens landed and said, George Washington is bad, your new ruler is Google Bobble. I mean, it's that insane, that naked, that out in the open, Aaron.
It is, and it's natural rights, as this article points out, but they try to dismiss that, Alex. They're going to demonize it. We'll be back after this break. Back again on the Alex Jones Show. This is Aaron Dykes. Alex is still riding shotgun with us. Patrick Henningsen coming up to discuss Syria and other extremely important geopolitical issues. But we're talking about natural rights. We're talking about this terrible police state coming down. And just at a glance, what I took from my personal readings of the Enlightenment and Renaissance was this whole concept that it's always a corrupt man who tries to put himself at the top of the system. And that's why you have to leave open that the rights come from God. Even if you don't believe in God, you want to leave that concept open. Otherwise, you're absolutely guaranteed a dictatorship. Fast forward to 1776. That is a new concept, as Alex, Ron Paul, and so many others bring up all the time. And now you have them trying to eradicate that with the TSA, with all these checkpoints, with the cash controls. I've seen an A&E History Channel American Revolution special from the 90s that is overtly Marxist, that tries to discredit and call the Founding Fathers terrorists, Alex. But I've got this Atlantic article, Connor Friedersdorf, Mission Creep, This Tennessee Highway is Now Patrolled by TSA. And it opens with quotes from John Pistole, TSA administration boss, talking about how traveling is a privilege and anyone who doesn't go along with the screenings has no right to fly. And they go on to analyze, how far does that attitude go? Does that mean it's a privilege to attend the Super Bowl, a privilege to ride the metro system, the Amtrak train, a boat, other forms of transportation? And now they have these highway checkpoints, Alex.
No judge, no jury. You can't find out why. Can't buy a gun, can't travel, can't have a job. TSA has said they're going to be over every job. The unions have already signed their employees on to have to go through TSA screening. That's why when the firefighters and police finally were going to get health care for 9/11, they had to go through a terror database. But listen, here's what's sick. I get the emails, I see the comments. Some of them are paid trolls. Still calling us kooks. The mainstream media is openly waging war on the Constitution publicly. I've got the college textbooks. Your own brother, you know, who's a, well, I'm not going to get into it. The point is, that's in his textbook. And that's why now when you tell somebody, hey, it's the Constitution, cops, but also especially TSA, look at you crazed like they've got an enemy. Listen, you evil globalist agent criminal. I want you to listen to me if you think that. That is America, you nitwit, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights. That is the Republic. You are enemies of the Republic. And we have to stop bowing to them. They're the crooks. They're the scum. It's a serious crime to violate the Fourth Amendment. It's a serious crime to grab children's genitals in front of them.
Alex, the First Amendment, the Fourth, the Second, those are rights not to be infringed under any circumstances. Those are the first laws, not the trash on the ground.
We've got a bunch of globalist banker boys and their media whores and hired goons telling us we're the bad people when we're the Americans. Get it through your stinking head. You people are traitors and enemies, and we will rout you out, and we will defeat you. Listen, Aaron, I'm gonna let you go here and go to Henningsen, and when you come in with Henningsen, you can break this down, but I got to tell people this. Folks, this is happening faster and faster, and this is why it's happening. The bankers knew when they created the derivative bubble 12 years ago, this was going to happen. They planned it. They have been training to take us down and to have a cashless grid for decades. They've been doing it in earnest since 1998, so 13 years. It's on. This is all planned. It's admittedly planned. It is a global, I'm getting chills, a global banker dictatorship. Think about your children. Think about the Republic. Think about a science fiction movie 50 years ago where the Constitution is demonized and people have government grabbing their genitals for no reason and treating everybody bad with domestic checkpoints. And I kept warning people about domestic checkpoints. They said, oh, you're a kook. It isn't going to happen, even though the Marines and Army have been involved for years. I can't handle it anymore, folks. They are putting, I'm going to say this to the people in a trance, they are putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. Murdering, psychopathic eugenicists run things. They are putting deadly radioactive isotopes in the water, not just fluoride, you idiots. You idiots out there that think I'm making this stuff up. You don't even care about your families enough to look at what I'm telling you. You people are idiots. You need to wake up right now and break your conditioning right now. We're under full-scale attack. You people can't understand this. You can't listen to me because it's not a direct attack in your face. It's incremental. It's creeping death. It's creeping, sneaky, scientific, New World Order, chicken neck, control freak, coward garbage. And I look at the public deep under globalist trances. They're actually victims. We've got to reach out to these zombies and somehow try to wake up as many zombies as we can because they're going to use these zombies as weapons against us, Aaron. It's all coming down right now, and I just can feel it in my gut and see it intellectually.
We're in a lot of trouble, Alex. I wish something you said wasn't true, but obviously it is. And they're going to trash the Fourth Amendment. They're going to try to stop the First Amendment.
They're coming for everybody. They're going to kill us with guns as well. Folks, all I can say is get geared up, get ready, warn everybody you know. It's 1776. You are the Paul Revere's. If you're hearing my voice, you are the resistance. Oh, man, Aaron Dyke's coming up next. Spread the word. Spread the word. Spread the word about the broadcast. Spread the word to the four corners. Get the word out. We can defeat them together.
On a long and lonesome highway, east of Omaha.
We are back on the Alex Jones Show in the second half of the third hour. Coming up tonight, of course, is the InfoWars Nightly News. That's at InfoWarsNews.com. And don't forget the November 3rd money bomb. You heard Alex earlier talking about what it takes to expand, how we need more people to make sure we're reaching the people we need to reach, the mass audience, with this message, this important message, as they continue to ramp up the bread and circuses, to ramp up all these distracting sports, all these TV shows, 3D movies, and the rest of it. We need to break through and let people know what's going on so they can turn away from this as this entire economic collapse is upon us. But we're joined now by InfoWars writer Patrick Henningsen. He's also a geopolitical analyst. Don't know why I can't say that. Geopolitical analyst. He's been following Syria closely, and we've seen a talking point that Syria is next, immediately on the heels of Gaddafi's exit, his death. And so, Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Break down what you've seen with Syria, because you told me the other day you saw even rebels who were discussing how Syria is next.
Yeah. I mean, I was absolutely shocked, Aaron. I was watching the BBC news, the BBC Nightly News. I think it was at 6 p.m. It was a 6 o'clock news on Friday. And there was an aerial shot of his convoy, or the charred remains of Gaddafi's convoy, which was hit, I believe, by a French tornado in a NATO airstrike. And you could just see burnt-out cars, and there were some rebels there, one rebel in particular, and it was a very quick shot, and I was shocked to see this. On the back of his camo kind of flak jacket he had on, in red letters, and I call to any viewers out there who can track down this clip to try to find it. I haven't had any luck of finding it. But back of this guy's jacket in red letters said, "Syria, here we come." Okay, so that is an absolute in-your-face admission, really, on the part of this transnational council. And it also, it never dawned on me to even pay attention, but I was looking at the interviews with these so-called rebel fighters, and I've lived I've lived and worked in the Middle East. I've lived and worked in Saudi Arabia in the past and also in Lebanon, and I'm very familiar with the different types of Arab facial features and backgrounds and even accents. And a lot of these guys, there's no way they're from Libya. They look like they're a lot of them are from Saudi, a few Pakistani, Afghanistan, and Iraq, possibly, and Egypt and stuff like that. So many of these rebel fighters, they're not even from Libya. So try to explain that. I ask David Cameron and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, try to explain to me how all these non-Libyan rebels have ended up in Libya. And we know there are a lot of al-Qaeda fighters that have been flown in for this job. These same guys, they're going to fly in to finish off Syria. The groundwork for Syria has already been laid by the Syrian ambassador, U.S. ambassador in Damascus. His name's Robert Ford. And if you're not familiar with Robert Ford was John Negroponte's number two guy in Baghdad under the Provisional Coalition Authority. Now, right about the time Negroponte dropped in as ambassador in Iraq, you started having all these death squads popping up. Shiite death squads and things like this, kidnapping people, shooting people all around Iraq, marauding gangs. And of course, John Negroponte is the architect of the Central American death squads and the School for the Americas based in Georgia and all the operations that came out of that kind of quasi-military intelligence university in America that used to train Central American, South American terrorists. Now, Negroponte's number two guy is Ford. He was the right man for the job, obviously. As soon as he arrived in Syria, we started seeing armed insurrection in different parts of Syria. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what's going on there. And this is not a grassroots hippie peace movement in Syria by any means, exactly like it wasn't in Libya. This is planned. These are timed. The Arab Spring from Tunisia to Egypt to Libya and next to Syria. These are all carefully coordinated and been planned years in advance.
That's what I mean, Patrick. I mean, they try to tell us that this is 1776 when it's nothing of the kind. We were just talking earlier with Alex about the demonization of 1776, trying to say Thomas Jefferson's Constitution, his Declaration of Independence, was illegal somehow. And yet we're supposed to go along and happily support supposed democracy movements in the Middle East that are just smokescreens for this aggressive U.S. foreign policy. This is not our country. It may be under the name of U.S., Patrick. And we know they've just brought in Islamic Sharia law in Libya, even as they use this propaganda to say, well, they need to have women's liberation over there. And, you know, the women don't want to have the things on their faces and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got of course, you're going to get a pro-Sharia law government installed in Libya. This is always the way it goes. Anytime, and probably throughout history, okay, anytime the U.S. gets involved, either by applying external pressure on a country, and I got many examples that I can tell you for that, or is involved, militarily or aiding or giving aid to some side of some kind of rebellion, you almost always get an extremist, a more extremist culture wake of that. Now, look, Iran is a perfect example. Your viewers know, and it's been documented in Alex's films. Mohammad Mossadegh, Iran in the 50s. This was a country where you go out into the streets of Tehran and you see most guys wearing gray suits, trilby hats, carrying briefcases. Very secular society. You know, on its way to becoming an advanced secular society. And of course, anytime you see this, and this is the same throughout Africa in the 50s and 60s, you look at some of these cities that really had their glory days in the 50s and 60s, a lot of newly won independence and so forth. And then comes the West, then comes the CIA, who want to basically smash these countries into submission and prepare them to become debt slaves to the IMF and that cartel of banks that gives out you know, foreign aid to these sort of countries. Gaddafi was off the reservation completely. He was running a completely solvent country, had, you know, spending money on everything from healthcare. They had the lowest infant mortality rate in Africa, longest life expectancy in Africa, had a British-style NHS healthcare system. You get interest-free loan if you want to buy a house. If you get married, they give you $10,000 or something like that, and, you know, $5,000 for each kid. I can't remember the exact statistics. But do you think that the people of Libya are going to get that standard of living back? Do you think that they're going to have a stability within their country, domestic stability? We're talking about in the national interests of Libyans, not in the United States' national interest.
But Patrick, we know this global empire is about disrupting stability. It's about undermining that, controlling through chaos. And it's about the grand chessboard, as Brzezinski calls it, and the rest of it.
Yes.
But I want to make sure people know that this is a talking point that has been orchestrated as if in a symphony without missing a beat immediately on the heels of Gaddafi's death. CNN headline, Syria, Yemen opposition warn their dictators, you are next. You also have Senator Mark Rubio of Florida mouthing off that, hey, you're next, buddy, to Assad. We have McCain talking about military options in Syria. Whatever you think about these people individually, this is a coordinated message that they're going to just move on down the map, Patrick.
Absolutely. I mean, look, General Wesley Clark gave an interview a few years ago. I believe it was in 2009 or 2008. He was actually in the Pentagon or in the State Department, and he saw the memo back in 2002, and it was a 4 or 5 step plan. They're going to take down Iraq first, then they're going to take down a series of countries, which included Syria and Lebanon, and finishing off with Iran. Okay, so this has obviously been on the board for a long time. They're getting a bit
and Patrick, I know a lot of the listeners know what you're talking about, long-time listeners, but new listeners won't believe it. We have that clip ready to go right now. I had the same thing in my stack, and Kurt Nemo wrote about it back in September 2011. Libya and Syria, the neocon plan to attack 7 countries in 5 years. Obviously, the timetable's not accurate, but let's cue that clip now. Wesley Clark.
And then we attacked Afghanistan. I was pretty happy about that. We should have. And then I came back to the Pentagon about 6 weeks later. I saw the same officer. I said, why haven't we attacked Iraq? We still going to attack Iraq? He said, oh, sir. He says, it's worse than that. He said, he pulled up a piece of paper off his desk. He said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office. It says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in 7 countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, 7 countries in 5 years. I said, is that a classified memo? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. He was about to show it to me. He said, because I want to talk about it. And I sat on this information for a long time, for about 6 or 8 months. I was so stunned by this, I couldn't begin to talk about it. And I couldn't believe it would really be true, but that's actually what happened. These people took control of the policy in the United States. And I realized then, it came back to me, a 1991 meeting I had with Paul Wolfowitz. You know, in 2001 he was Deputy Secretary of Defense, but in 1991 he was the Under Secretary of Defense for Policy. It's the number 3 position in the Pentagon. And I had gone to see him when I was a 1-star general. I was commanding the National Training Center. I had met him one time. He said, if you ever get to Washington, come look me up. They always say that. While I was there in Washington, it was a Friday afternoon. I'd visited Colin Powell. He'd given me 5 minutes of his precious time and sent me on my way. And I was bored in the Pentagon. And I thought, I'll just go, who can I see? I think I'll see Wolfowitz. So I called, and up there, he was available. Scooter Libby came to the door. I met Scooter for the first time, and he brought me in. And I said to Paul, I said, and this is 1991, I said, Mr. Secretary, you must be pretty happy with the performance of the troops in Desert Storm. And he said, well, yeah, he said, but not really. He said, because the truth is we should have gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't. And this was just after the Shia uprising.
There's more of the clip, of course, and he goes on to say how Paul Wolfowitz told him they were going to go to war with Iraq only 10 days after 9/11 for no good reason. And obviously, Wolfowitz was part of so much from Project for a New America Century, for a New American Century on down, and they are seeking a global empire. Patrick, I just want to bring into the conversation something called Spikeman's Rimlin, and that is a grand chessboard-style plan. I don't know if we can show that on screen right now. I know we have the graphic. And there is a crescent for radio listeners. There's a red breakdown throughout the map, all the way from Eastern Europe through the Middle East, on through Central Asia and over through China, up through Japan and the rest of it. And what this is a tension zone. It's a Hegelian dialectic plan to keep most of that region in turmoil in order to establish really what amounts to a global government empire based on U.S. imperialism. And the reason that's important is because it clearly ties into everything we've seen with the Arab Spring, even the stuff going in Africa. How closely does that match all these hot zones? And what they want to do is partition all these world powers, China, Russia, the African sphere. They want to partition it so their powers can be as limited as possible so they can consolidate those regions into economic blocks, later political blocks, as they've done over the past 50 years. It's all about global integration. Patrick Henningsen, your response.
Yeah, I mean that's absolutely correct, and this is a long range plan. With the long range goals, and you know, a lot of people that might be listening to this or watching this clip that are always skeptical about this is conspiracy theory. It's another New World Order conspiracy theory. Listen, you can go into each and every think tank, like the Rand Corporation or a dozens of others, the ones who write these theoretical papers in the theoretical stages, and then they advance through the think tank system, and sooner or later they're going to make it onto foreign policy table. Okay, now there's a kind of a psyop as well in order to achieve this crest with all these tension zones over Eurasia and Africa. There's a powerful psyop that is no doubt, I'm sure, been written about in one of the think tanks like the Rand Corporation or something like this, is the PSYOP is to create a Berlin Wall moment, okay? And this is what they've tried to achieve with the Arab Spring, is to create this Berlin Wall moment for the Middle East, whereby all these dictators have been toppled one by one, and it looks like this kind of organic phenomenon. But, you know, you have to remind everybody out there that, and this is a good quote from, I believe, from Michel Chavadovsky from Global Research. He said, dictators do not dictate. They follow orders. Okay. And you have that across the board with everybody from Idi Amin right to the present day. If there's any real genuine dictators out there, there's a 99.9% chance that they're in the pay of the U.S. government and are receiving foreign aid or buying arms from America or receiving big loans from the IMF. Those type of dictators are normally allied with Washington. Okay, now you have these people they're calling dictators, and you really can't be sure that they actually are. Look, the Ba'athist Party, which is the party that they obliterated in Iraq when they invaded Iraq in 2003, they smashed the Ba'athist Party. They took out, shot, and imprisoned anybody who was in the Ba'ath Party. And this is just a typical kind of mafia intimidation, like the Libyan rebels have done. The first thing they did when they went out was just start terrorizing people. Any pro-Qaddafi supporters or people who worked for the Qaddafi government, they just go out and start terrorizing them. They'd either go and loot their flats, or they shoot them in cold blood, or much worse, reports have been made. And what that does, it achieves a kind of reign of terror. And this is the kind of system that John Negroponte pioneered in places like El Salvador and Nicaragua. And that's what his protege, Robert Ford, has rolled out ever since the last U.S. ambassador that was pulled from Damascus was in 2005, right after the assassination of Rafik Hariri, who was the Lebanese prime minister at the time. He was a very good guy by all accounts. He was assassinated by a massive car bomb on the Corniche down in on the coast and near the water in the okay. city of Beirut.
Patrick, we're coming up on the break. We're going to finish up with this on the other side in the last segment. Again, tonight, the InfoWars Nightly News. Alex Jones will be on the rebroadcast and with us again tomorrow, along with Mike Adams. We're going to get more into this geopolitical situation on the other side. Stay tuned. Our guest is Patrick Henningsen, InfoWars.com.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
We are coming up on the end of the broadcast, but this is not the end of the story. These globalists are not going to stop with their imperial overreach. Obviously, Syria will just be the next domino or whatever country they choose to invade next on the path to Persia. We have reports about all the different ways they've planned to circumvent Iran rather than going to war with it directly. Obviously, they want key allies like Syria and Hezbollah to be under bay or a check one way or another before they take the Big Apple, the bite out of the Big Apple. They have a hit list. We know that. We just played the Wesley Clark clip where they talk about the seven countries they plan to invade. We know there's an IMF and central bank strategy. And we are on with Patrick Henningsen, InfoWars.com reporter, and we are breaking down these lies. Now, Patrick, we know there were deceptions about the Libyan rebels being ordinary people. Hillary just last week said it was the work of ordinary Libyans that killed Gaddafi. And there's lies, too, about Syria. Help us break those down, because I've got a Tony Cartellucci report where he breaks down repeatedly the use of the Orwellian term that the Syrian protesters were, quote, mostly unarmed, when in fact they were armed by the West to challenge Assad.
Yeah, I'll comment on that. But it's very important that your listeners understand, and that Americans who have brains pay attention and understand how and when this whole operation began. And in 2005, the U.S. recalled its ambassador in Damascus immediately after the assassination in Beirut of the Lebanese prime minister, Rafik Hariri, okay, which was blamed with no evidence, purely on a hearsay and a talking point that the Assad government was responsible for Hariri's assassination, which there's no grounds and no proof at all. Now, if we look now in 2011, we look back at that situation in 2005, and it's quite clear that the motive and the ability was by the United States. The United States is documented, is known to be funding from the State Department, anti-Assad political groups or moves. So we've been meddling in their affairs, their domestic affairs, for a few years now. Okay, this is the climax of it. Now we're coming into the actual game. And you see a lot of talking points. A big one that's been pushed all over the media worldwide is this term, dissident soldiers, who are apparently, allegedly, soldiers who have turned coat away from the Syrian ruling government and have joined these rebel groups. Now, I have yet to see really compelling evidence that this is actually the case. What you do have, and what you did have in places like Iraq and places like Central America, is you have proof of the U.S. backing these bogus guerrillas who are basically dressed in military uniforms and go out shooting people. And that's a clear false flag technique that's used to create internal strife and to get people fighting against each other. Just like when the U.S. entered Iraq in 2003, there were no natural divisions and warring factions that had Sunnis and Shiites shooting up each other. It didn't exist. What the U.S. did was they came in, they put in the powerful talking point in their sort of divide and rule strategy, which is that Shias and Sunnis don't get along, and Iraq had more tribal rivalries than religious. So there's one thing Saddam Hussein did is he kept the place He kept his house in order with regards to arrival.
We had to cut it there, Patrick, because we're coming up on the end of the broadcast. But it's true. Any way you slice it, they have ousted the secular governments and increasingly brought in the radical. You have to assume there's a strategy in the region, a region for that. Stay tuned. Tonight's the InfoWars Nightly News. We also need your support on the November 3rd Money Bomb. Don't forget, we need your help to grow. Also, a powerful marathon broadcast. InfoWars.com, rebroadcast now.